This is the Quality News Network. Authorities in Seattle, Washington have made two arrests in the shooting deaths of six people. Their bodies were discovered this morning at a Woodside compound just outside the city. The identities of the male and female suspects have not been released. Investigators have not officially identified the victims, but say it is likely that they are three generations of one family, including two toddlers. San Francisco police are investigating last night's mauling death of a Silicon Valley teenager by a 300-pound Siberian tiger. Authorities say it is possible that the animal was taunted and maybe even helped to get out of its enclave by humans. The tiger was immediately shot to death. The zoo remains closed until more is known about the tiger's escape. All eyes are on the state of Iowa as the presidential caucus set for January 3rd quickly approaches. There are no current front runners in the wide-open contest for both Democratic and Republican presidential bids. The state of New Hampshire holds its nominating contest on January 8th, just 5 days after Iowa. The U.S. Senate met in pro forma session today for a total of 9 seconds. President Bush was prevented from appointing a nominee for Assistant Attorney General, firmly rejected by Senate Democrats. Without the pro forma session, Mr. Bush could legally install federal officials without Senate approval. From his ranch in Crawford, Texas today, President Bush signed the federal budget bill, which allocates $555 billion for 14 federal agencies. Two U.S. soldiers were killed in northern Iraq on Christmas Day, bringing the official U.S. military death toll in Iraq to 3,900. Iran will buy an anti-aircraft missile from Russia. That's according to Iran's defense minister, an announcement which could further irritate the United States, Britain, and France. Iran is currently under U.N. sanction over its refusal to stop enriching uranium, but sales of conventional weapons to Iran are not banned. Egyptian leaders are rejecting Israel's complaints over weapons being smuggled into Gaza, calling them a smokescreen. Diplomatic talks between Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak and Israeli Defense Minister Ehud Barak are expected to continue. And you are listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a check of business news and more just after this message.
Behaving in a civil manner is the foundation of a civilized society. The Roman philosopher and emperor Marcus Aurelius said, "The happiness of your life depends on the quality of your thoughts. If you think in a civil tone, you will reflect civility to others." When we are civil, we aren't at war. We aren't fighting. When we are civil, there is no crime. When we are civil, we enrich the lives of all the people we meet. When we are civil, we are healthier and happier. The Russian author Leo Tolstoy wrote, "Happiness does not depend on outward things, but on the way we see them. It is our choice to be civil rather than hostile or aloof. Sharing our inherent goodness contributes to the common weal in a way that benefits not only our society, but ourselves, deeply, importantly, and eternally." For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Within the next week, the nation's most complicated and expensive highway project will finally be finished. The price tag for Boston's Big Dig Tunnel comes in at $14.8 billion. The project expected to cut the time it takes a motorist to cross Boston to less than 3 minutes. Shares for Amazon.com rose more than 2% today after the company reported the current holiday season is its strongest ever. Amazon shoppers ordered more than 5,400,000 items on December 10th alone. That's the company's busiest day on record. Shares of Apple Inc. reaching the $200 mark for the first time today as investors gained confidence in what has been a profitable year for the iPod and also computer sales. Shares rose $1.17 in afternoon trading to $199.97. They earlier peaked at $200 a share. A $6 billion deal between Iran and Malaysia was signed today to help develop two offshore gas fields in another crucial boost for Iran's energy industry. The agreement defies Western allies, the U.S. and the European Union, who together with the U.N. are restricting any dealings with Iranian firms over Iran's determination to continue enriching uranium. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 2 points to end at 13,551. Always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
afternoon, and welcome to America Back on Track here on the Quality News Network. It's Wednesday, December the 26th, Boxing Day. If you're not familiar with that term, it's, I think, from Great Britain, and they also have it in Canada and some other nations of the empire, former empire, and it had to do with giving little boxes of gifts, Christmas gifts, to service people like the postman and the butcher and folks like that. Just in case, you know, you're at a bar and someone has a bet, you know what Boxing Day is, you can fake it. I'm your correspondent, Tony Seaton. We don't fake it much here unless we let you know that we're faking it with a laugh. Coming up in this half hour, we're going to be talking with Henry Harvinding. He is a professor who's got a study out now about how human evolution is speeding up. I'm sure in some cases it is, though doesn't it seem we're going backwards sometimes? In our second half hour, Kate Daniels, the founder and editor, executive editor of the Women's International Perspective, is going to be with us. Today's Seaton Notes is on the Clintons' record. I should note that there is a piece in the Times, a perspective piece in the New York Times today, about Hillerod and her tenure as First Lady and how much she participated in decision-making. It doesn't seem to be as much as she would imply. She didn't have a national security clearance. She didn't go to any of the big types of meetings, and she doesn't comment on a whole lot of stuff. But we will get into that in some less detail than the Times. In Seat Notes, our quote of the day is from N.I.S. Nin, who said, "And the day came when the risk it took to remain tight inside the bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom." Ain't that neat? Some observations on the news. This question, is the Cold War restarting? Russia is selling to Iran a new air defense system. Not that it would likely deter our own lunatics who are threatening to attack Iran. Perhaps the sale announcement will in fact induce Cheney to attack sooner before the system can be installed. Our pal Steve Pizzo wondered if the Bush boy saw this coming when he famously looked into Vladimir Putin's soul. Last week, it was reported that the Environmental Protection Agency would block California's call for stricter auto emission standards. Yeah, it wasn't quite right. The head of the EPA declared, but it turns out that Stephen Johnson overruled the unanimous opinion of his legal and technical staff. The clearly political decision was a gross mistake, not only because it was wrong ethically and environmentally, but because, as his staff told him, the unilateral action would be overturned in the courts. Congress, too, is going after Johnson. In a letter to him, House Oversight and Government Reform Committee Chairman Henry Waxman, a Democrat from Los Angeles, declared, quote, "Prior to making this decision, you assured the committee, as well as the state of California and many others, that you would make this decision on the merits. It does not appear that you fulfilled that commitment." Indeed. California is facing a $15 billion budget shortfall, and that's prompting all sorts of new ideas on how to reduce costs, especially since Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has been adamant about not raising taxes, and the Republicans in the legislature even more adamant. But it's a route he will probably eventually have to take. In the meantime, he's looking into the early release of 22,000 inmates from the state's prisons. The Golden State has 172,000 people behind bars in 32 prisons. The release of the 22,000 offenders, about 12% of the state prison's population, and the consequent layoff of 8,000 guards could save a quarter of $1 billion a year, which would be less than 2% of the budget gap. Here's an irony that is all too fitting in today's political climate, this cesspool of corruption, cowardice, and complicity. A couple of days before the primary season officially begins, the Federal Elections Commission will shut down. The Democrats on Capitol Hill and the White House have been bickering about who should make up the six members of the FEC governing board, and as of the first of the year, the commission will cease to be able to form a quorum. This will create problems with federal funding of campaigns and reduce the investigations of campaign finance violations to virtually nil. It certainly demonstrates the bipartisan opposition to healthy elections in our country. The New York Times had a profile of Harry Reid last week that focused on the Senate Majority Leader's disdain of President Bush. Reid has referred to Bush as a loser and a liar and King George. Reed has declared, "I am mystified and dumbfounded about how difficult it is to work with this guy." Reed has even said that he hates Bush, though he says he means that politically, not personally. All of which means nothing, since Reed has demonstrated his own staggering incompetence by colluding with the White House when it comes to supporting the same special interests, and totally failing to accomplish anything significant when it comes to Iraq, global warming, oil industry subsidies, ag subsidies, media consolidation, health insurance for children, wiretapping. Well, sir, the list of your failures is as long as the Bush boys. Tony Blair has left his Anglican roots and become a member of the Roman Catholic Church. This was not unexpected. Blair's wife and their two children are Catholic. It's curious that Blair takes religion so seriously, considering some of his policies. Indeed, Blair last year said that he had prayed to God when deciding whether or not to send British troops into Iraq. He didn't say which God he prayed to, and it's not clear what precisely was the response, if any, that he received. The implication in Blair's even raising the subject is that his God told him to go to war against a foreign nation, thousands of miles away, that posed no threat to Britain. One wonders who was that God, Mars or Ares? A tragically bellicose deity. Whatever the source of his inspiration, Blair not only sent troops, but his participation in the so-called coalition was essential to the invasion. It's unlikely the U.S. would have been able to invade Iraq without Blair's complicity. Good God. Or not. Okie doke, that's sort of some of what's going on in the news. We've got a couple of minutes of commercials, and then we'll be back talking about how human evolution is speeding up. Stay tuned. You're listening to America Back on Track.
Hueyl-Hauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking.
What are you looking for in your business bank?
Somebody that can offer me services such as car loans, equipment loans, leases, a line of credit.
And do you think because they're local, they understand your needs better than a bigger bank would?
Yes, I think they're really aware of the community and are here to help the small business people.
So it's a local bank with big bank services?
Absolutely. They're here on a regular basis to make sure if there's any other services they can provide, they're here to talk about it.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
We searched out a bank that would have the flexibility and the understanding of our needs and a willingness to spend the time doing that.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks, available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
We're back. America Back on Track. And pleased to have with us by telephone Henry Harpending, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, an anthropologist with the University of Utah in Salt Lake City. Welcome, Henry, to America Back on Track.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
How do I pronounce your last name again properly?
It's Harpending.
Oh, the way it's spelled.
Yes.
How clever. I was fascinated by this story about the change in the speed of human evolution. What does it mean?
Well, it means that our many aspects of our biology are changing. And they're changing faster than they ever have. The rate of change has gone up, which contradicts a widespread stereotype that modern humans showed up 40,000 years ago or so, and haven't changed much since then. And we find that we're changing a lot.
In what ways is this manifest? I saw some comments about lighter skin color, different hair color, different color eyes, that sort of thing.
The differences we see among people, many of them seem to be very recent, and the change is happening very fast, so that 10,000 years ago, no one had blue eyes. This is all very recent. People with blue eyes over the last few thousand years have had a reproductive advantage. It's spreading. Light skin, the ability to drink fresh milk, some things that we don't understand at all, like coarse hair in Asia, dry earwax in Asia, many aspects of, or many genes affecting the central nervous system, we don't have any idea what they're doing, are changing rapidly. The things that affect what we might call temperament, neurotransmitter receptors, things like that. Yeah, it's a big surprise, and I don't think we know what to make of it yet.
So it's not only things that are changing, but the speed with which they're changing.
That's right. The speed has gone up a lot, 100-fold since modern humans showed up, something like that.
And this is because there are so many people, and as each person procreates and more people come, then these changes are spread out over not millions but billions. Is that right?
Well, the favorable mutations, mutations that are going to do better, are extremely rare. They're like getting hit by lightning. And so the more people there are, the more targets there are. It's that simple. The number of beneficial, advantageous new mutations should be proportional to population size, and the number of humans has gone up by something like a factor of 1,000. And so there should be 1,000 times as many beneficial new mutations. That's the core of it.
Why do we call them beneficial new mutations?
Well, beneficial or advantageous, all that means is that people that have them are going to reproduce slightly faster. So over the last 5 to maybe 8,000 years, people in Europe who have been able to drink fresh milk have reproduced about 2 to 3% faster than people who could not. They got more energy out of their food. They had more surviving offspring. And so that mutation is spread. That's what I mean by beneficial.
And we're making the presumption that it's beneficial because it increases the speed or the number of people who are being born, but we don't know necessarily if the people who are running this race are running in the wrong direction, if that sounds, makes any sense at all.
It makes sense. What's good for me may not be good for you.
Right.
When we're talking about a social species, Mother Nature favors those who reproduce faster, and if they reproduce faster by, cheating and conniving, I don't want it, but it happens anyway. Yes.
So that Mother Nature does believe that the faster rate of reproduction is, well, it's
yes,
natural.
That's all there is, as far as nature is concerned.
How can you tell about these things? Is it how do you study this?
We study it by looking for patterns of similarity in large samples of human chromosomes. Chromosomes carry the genetic material, the DNA. They're strings that break and reform. If a mutation that's beneficial happens on a particular chromosome, that chromosome will increase in number, it'll become common, but it won't have had time to break up. So we look for these chunks of unbroken chromosome that are too common to be explained by any kind of random or chance process. It's not easy to explain. And since it's all relatively new, we haven't even figured out how to teach it very well.
Hold that thought, Henry. We've got a commercial break, and we will be back with Henry Harpending, an anthropologist with the University of Utah, talking about our evolution. Stay tuned.
Keep current on events during the day with the finest newscasts in the country right here on the Quality News Network. The QNN newscasts are delivered at the top of the hour from 7 a.m. Eastern through 6 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday. QNN delivers almost three times the number of stories you'd hear on mainstream networks or public radio. Plus, QNN gives you the most comprehensive business coverage of any general news source. The QNN Headline News Service is for everyone who wants to stay on top of the news. We report national and international news stories, but we leave out the political slant and unnecessary bells and whistles, unlike so many other news media organizations. Hear the latest news from the Quality News Network online at qualitynewsnetwork.com or call your local news radio station and tell them you want them to carry QNN newscasts, the finest in the country.
Hi, I'm Brian Gingrich of Monterey Mattress Company. The only way to travel is by using the very best, and the very best in a major sleep product is any mattress from Monterey Mattress Company. Literally serving all parts of the world, we have been building the finest latex foam and innerspring mattresses for well over 20 years. Using our world-famous hotels as a measuring stick, you'll more often hear the name Monterey Mattress, as we supply over 100 resort hotels in this area. Far exceeding industry standards, these mattresses are available to you at factory prices. In addition to the local recognition, Monterey Mattress Company has been shipping beds worldwide to the many visitors who have experienced a great night's sleep here. This is the ultimate endorsement enjoyed by very few businesses. Monterey Mattress Company. We simply build the best, whether for your home or world-renowned resorts. Visit us today at 1714 Contra Costa in Sand City or on the World Wide Web at MontereyMattress.com. Sleep like a panda bear.
We're back. America Back on Track, talking with Henry Harpending about evolution. Henry, before the break, you were talking about that this is so complicated it's difficult even to teach.
Well, it's like riding a bicycle, you know. After you have done it a while, it seems obvious, but, you know, at a university, we have to stand up in front of hundreds of people and explain things, and often it takes a while. I think next year I'll be able to teach this, and the kids will all understand it pretty easily. Right now, I'm fumbling, trying to answer questions like yours. How do we know this? But we'll get better at it.
Well, what will be done with the knowledge that comes from this study?
What will be done with it? Nothing immediately. Certainly, it may suggest pharmaceutical approaches to illness and other human afflictions. If we look at what is changing rapidly, we might get a hint at how to fix certain things. We know that there are a lot of these new mutations in Africa are responses to malaria. They protect against malaria. And knowing how they work ought to suggest some pharmaceutical approaches to malaria, but I don't know of any. I don't know that it's happened yet.
You mentioned that some of the genetic changes include those that suppress body odor.
In Asia, yes.
What would that come from? I mean, what would induce the body to move in that direction? Not that the soap companies might object to it, but do we have any idea about, is it that body odor would limit mating and that would be sort of a self-policing action?
Well, it may be enough that other people don't like it. There are a lot of phenomena in nature that reflect what's called sexual selection. If you look at the bright green head on a Drake mallard, you know, that's eagle bait, but the females like it. So we have the green head because the females like it, and it may be that the suppression of body odor is a trait like that. Some people think that white skin may be a trait like that. It seems to be, in many ways, disadvantageous. It may be just a gaudy decoration that is expensive.
And blue eyes is a positive?
Blue eyes is spreading very rapidly in Europe. I have no idea why.
And you also mentioned about the dry earwax. What is that about?
Well, that seems to be a side effect of the suppressing body odor,
uh-huh.
or vice versa, but it seems to be that's the same system.
So it could be a result of the suppressed body odor as opposed
yeah.
to people being more attractive because they had drier earwax.
I hope so, yes, that's right.
Listen, Henry, if this professor work doesn't work out for you, I'm sure there would be an opportunity in stand-up comedy.
Well,
it's fascinating. No, I'm being sarcastic about it. It's incredible what we're beginning to learn about ourselves and how we're evolving.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And how little we know. I can punch my computer and get a list of, 2,000 genes that are evolving very fast, and I have something semi-intelligent to say about four of them,
mm-hmm.
perhaps about a good day.
I remember reading a story, perhaps this is very familiar to someone in your field, about an area off of Japan where the people fished for crab. And there was this one particular, some crabs looked like a deity, if I remember the story correctly. And when they saw those crabs, when they pulled them out of the water, those crabs that looked like the deity, they threw them back in. So that after, maybe a few hundred years, all the crabs looked like that deity.
Right, exactly. That's, yes, completely plausible. I don't know that story, but that's what ought to happen, sure.
Now, is that something that we could do? I mean, is this an intelligent Stepford Wives program?
Well, it's... if we wanted to, it's nothing but ag sci. I mean, farmers have known all about it for, 10,000 years. There's no scientific breakthrough in any of this. I'd just as soon take a pass on all of that, but I'd like to take a pass on trying to create humans that look like deities. On the other hand, we've practically eliminated Tay-Sachs disease in this country because of being aware of genes, and there's nothing good about Tay-Sachs disease. Your baby dies, I think it's worthwhile trying to put an end to a lot of that, yeah.
We're talking with Henry Harpending. He is an anthropologist at the University of Utah in Salt Lake City. The subject is evolution and the genetic changes and the fact that they have been speeding up. We'll be back with more with him right after these messages. Stay tuned. You're listening to America Back on Track on the Quality News Network.
Attention homeowners, this is Sharon Law Tucker. You've heard me talk about various mortgage types over the past several months. Now I want to talk to you about reverse mortgages. I believe that quality of life and having options is extremely important. The biggest concern for most seniors today is to stay in their homes, yet they are living on an income that can no longer meet their basic living needs. Through reverse mortgage loan products, I can help senior homeowners stay in their homes, get tax-free cash for any purpose, including monthly income, home improvements, medical care, travel, and much more. I can help you remove the stress and worry from your life, take the burden of responsibility from your children, and enjoy a better quality of life. If you are a senior homeowner, call me today for a free copy of the Reverse Mortgage Handbook. I'll send it to you at no cost, no obligation. Phone me, Sharon Law Tucker, at the Reverse Mortgage Center, 831-809-1705, 831-809-1705. Pacific Home Lending is licensed by the California DRE, license number 01254837.
For an insider's look at quality news coverage, be sure to read two of the latest books by award-winning journalist and author Tony Seaton. The Quality Interview and Don't Mess with the Press transport the reader into the world of journalism, including the ups and downs of network news coverage and what it's really like reporting the important events we see happening every day around the world. Don't Mess with the Press is an intriguing and engaging chronicle of Tony's early career, beginning with his start as a copy boy for ABC News back in the 1970s, to working his way up to become producer of network news interviews for Barbara Walters. The Quality Interview is the definitive guide to the art of the interview. Learn interviewing basics and much more, including how to get crucial information out of even the toughest interview. For more on Don't Mess with the Press and The Quality Interview by Tony Seaton, visit our website at www.qualitynewsnetwork.com.
We're back, America Back on Track, talking with Henry Harpending, an anthropologist with the University of Utah in Salt Lake City, talking about evolution in genes. Henry, we were talking before the break about whether or not this game could be manipulated. You note that 10,000 years ago, with the advent of agriculture, organized agriculture, that this is when things really started rolling. And it does suggest that, in addition to the number of people involved, that diet could play a significant role in how we wind up down the road.
I think dietary change is one of the big driving agents. The other one is a large number of new infectious diseases that went along with having a large population. But certainly diet change is a major force here. I've lived with hunting and gathering people, and they have no simple carbohydrates in their diet, except for the occasional honey tree. But other than that, it's eating complex carbohydrates. When you start farming cereal grains, you're eating a lot of simple, easily digestible carbohydrate, and suddenly a lot of people have diabetes. It's a big change in our environment, our lifestyle.
So it's not only the fact of what might be introduced into a society, but also the speed and the quantity at which it might be introduced. If you take those hunter-gatherers and stick them in the breadbasket, that ain't going to be a good plan.
It's going to be a very bad plan for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have a lot of trouble with, and they're having it now, maize meal is replacing wild foods.
What about in our own society, Henry, in terms of the way parents have been allowing children to get obese? Do you see that that could have an effect on our evolutionary development?
Something big and important is certainly happening with childhood obesity. And I haven't read anything about the causes of it that I find convincing. The only, we've been in America on a kind of low-fat kick for a while, and that may be causing a lot of it, but I'm not sure. It turns out, I think, that carbohydrates are much more of a threat to body weight than fat in the diet is. I don't think it's right to say parents have been allowing. I mean, something's happening, but you can't starve your kid. I don't think anyone has a handle on what's happening.
Do you think that what we're seeing in various cultures that, for instance, you mentioned Tay-Sachs, are there other changes that we can make to our development that we have control over that would not be, you know, empirical about we only want blue-eyed blondes or something? Can we micromanage, I guess what I'm asking is, can we micromanage our own evolution?
It's not very attractive these days. What we can do with Tay-Sachs is do early pregnancy terminations, which, you know, no one wants. What we ought to be able to do pretty soon is just simply fix the genes. And Tay-Sachs is the kind of condition that we understand well enough that ought to be fixed. A big one is sickle cell anemia. That is a gene that has spread fast because of malaria. And now we have, in North America, we have no malaria. We have no reason at all that we want that gene around. And it's, there are tens of thousands of people in America that are living impaired and shortened lives. And we know chemistry. We ought to just simply patch that gene and get rid of sickle cell disease. There are a lot of things like that, yes.
And how is that done? Take a pill, or I don't mean that sarcastically.
Oh.
How do we change that gene?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we've been trying gene therapy, trying to insert new DNA into cells and getting it functioning. No one's got it working very well yet, but everyone is. Lots of labs are working away at it. That's way outside my area of competence. How it's done, I don't know. But I know it's on the table. A lot of labs are working on it. And we know enough about some things like sickle cell anemia to say without any doubt that we don't want them. They do no good to anyone.
You're quoted as saying it's going to take a while to stabilize. By a while, I mean tens of thousands of years. Do you think we really ever will stabilize, Henry?
No, I don't remember saying that, but I may very well have. Do I think we're going to... I don't know. Our rate of change in technology is so fast that I don't see any stabilization coming. I mean, pretty soon it's going to be selection for being able to function in a weightless environment or on another planet or something. No, I see no stabilization coming.
Henry Harpending, very enjoyable talking with you about this subject. It's fascinating, and it's going to be moving as fast as evolution.
Good to speak with you. Thank you for having me on.
A great pleasure. We'll be back with more right after these messages. Stay tuned. You're listening to America Back on Track on the Quality News Network.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway, carmel.com.
Remember when the name on the door said it all? In today's world, it's the website that defines a company's image. For better or worse, a company's presence on the internet is a vital factor in how it keeps existing customers and attracts new clients. Byte Technology of Monterey is a leader in a new approach to web design. Byte designs a new site based on the mission, purpose, character, and indeed the energy of their clients. Byte is particularly successful in presenting their client's name to the global internet community because they approach the design with a clear, defined process. By fully understanding the client's business, motivation, and operation, they are able to translate the company's critical values into the new website. In addition to original design, Byte works with clients to update their website to reflect changes in target markets, products and services, and the business climate. Byte Technology. See what they're about at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
We're back, America Back on Track. And now joining us by telephone, our friend and esteemed colleague Kate Daniels. She is the founder and executive editor of the Women's International Perspective, the WIP, WIP.net. Kate, welcome back to America Back on Track.
Thank you, Tony. It's great to be here.
You launched in March, as I recall.
It has been 9 months since we launched, yes. And we came to you and we're on your show the very first week.
That's quite true, and it's been a delight to have you back. In fact, I should let our audience know that you're going to be a regular contributor on America Back on Track, and we expect that to wind up later this winter, such as winter is here, with your own broadcast about women's writing. First of all, for those people who have not heard you before, a brief explanation of the WIP.
Well, the WIP is the Women's International Perspective, and what we are is an international news website, and all the content is brought to you by women experts and women journalists and women writers from around the world. So we cover a range of topics from sections such as arts and culture, economy, education, politics, science, technology, but all of the content is created from the voice and perspectives of women in different regions around the world.
You attended my course the other week, and you said that you've now got how many writers in 50 writers in 25 countries?
That's exactly it. We have 50 writers from 25 different countries around the world, and equally exciting is that we've had readers from 118 different countries around the world joining us. And so for us, that's really exciting because that is the power of the internet. They are coming to us from all different ways and reading the content and participating on the website, and the same with our writers. They're all very, very active as readers and contributors as well on the website.
One of the issues that came up in the class the other night was the question of whether or not women's perspectives and men's perspectives were different in terms of whether or not a man could write from a woman's perspective, the anima versus animus instead of male versus female. And you addressed that, I thought, very succinctly.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what I said the other night, but you know what we're cultivating here is a voice and a perspective that's absent from mainstream media because there's such underrepresentation of women in media. But it's not necessarily something that is exclusive to women. And our readers in equal numbers are men and women. And soon to launch, as early as hopefully next week, will be the opportunity for readers to write their own blogs. And so we will have a lot more voices from men on the website, but it's a perspective that we all have, you know, the ability to write from, but that is really absent from mainstream media. These women are writing very personal stories. They're submitting stories that have global significance, but they come from a place where they're important to them and their communities. They're choosing the issues that are affecting them. And instead of what's really traditional in media, which would be a third person reporting or account of a story, oftentimes from a distance, especially in international news, our writers are writing from the area where the story is occurring, and they're writing specifically the information and the story that's really crucial and important to them and their community.
Obviously, a considerable amount of work has to be done in not so much literal translation, but in terms of what information the broader audience already has as a foundation for what your writers might be writing about.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that the Feminine Perspective really does so well is that it takes into consideration a context. History, it looks back into the past and tries to understand current events from a place in history where they actually come from. And it's also very forward thinking, taking situations into account and asking what if and who will be affected questions. And so that history is oftentimes accounted for in the story. And it's something that we're doing because of the situation that you just addressed, because a lot of people don't actually know the history of the part of the world where we're writing from or the history of the situation that we're writing about. But that's actually all part of the perspective, and even stories that are right here in the United States hopefully will be that comprehensive and not leave out any of the vital information that's truly, truly important if you're going to really understand a situation and learn from what you're reading.
Do you find that you have to sometimes edit in or offer notes that explain cultural presumptions?
We haven't had to do that a lot. I mean, because our writers and our editors are doing such a good job, I mean, it's truly amazing the breadth of story that we've received from our writers. And our editorial team is an incredible team. And so they work with the writers individually to really answer those questions in advance. We send our manuscripts back a lot. There's a lot of back and forth that's going on between our writers and our editors just to make sure that by the time the story arrives on the front page of the WIP, that it really does consider the global nature of our audience and the fact that some of the information that may be obvious from certain parts of the world isn't necessarily so. And then the great thing about the blogosphere is that whatever's left out, the readers make up for it in their comments. Whether they agree, disagree, feel something's lacking, they have this opportunity to add whatever they want to the story in the comment feature. So it really, you know, we have a great opportunity here to provide the kind of news that is not only really educational but all-inclusive.
And you've just added a couple of new writers.
Yes, we have. We've added several writers. We are growing. It's amazing to me that we launched with, I think, 9 writers, and it seems so small now to have 50 and growing. And the new writers that are coming to us are really, I mean, incredible. Two of the most recent authors, one is from Germany. She's from Berlin. Her name is Roseanne Clermont. And she writes also for the International Herald Tribune and Der Spiegel, and is really an incredible addition. The quality of writers, it's what's really amazing to me, especially in Western countries, is that it's really hard to expect that a Western journalist is going to come to us and take the time to submit a story and work hard on a story when what we're offering them is so much less than what they're getting from other larger publications. But what's so exciting is they really seem to love our mission and to feel like what we're doing is important. And I think that they're really excited and they appreciate being part of this international team of writers who are so dedicated to the WIP's mission. And so in the beginning, when we hadn't launched yet, understandably there were a lot of Western journalists who weren't so excited about working with us. And as we've grown and as we've developed and as all the things we set out to do in our mission are coming true, they are coming to us and participating, and it's wonderful. And so the content that's being added to the site is really first-rate stuff.
I share that excitement with you, even though America Back on Track doesn't have the same audience as some of the major broadcasts. I find that the people who are very serious and interested in getting word out about their topics are glad to be on because they get a good interview and they reach out to more people.
Right. And there's so many factors that are coming into play right now in terms of the ability to have the freedom to express what you want to express as a journalist. And there's a lot of censorship, self-censorship right now that's going on because stories aren't necessarily going to be published by editors of these large mainstream publications. And so some of the writers that are coming to us are just really excited to not have those restrictions, whether it's self-imposed or editorial restrictions. And so they'll send us stuff that they know is not going to get published elsewhere, and they know that it will get published at the WIP. So that's very exciting.
Kate, we have about 30 seconds left. You think you're going to have a new setup next week?
As soon as, hopefully it's launching next week. We tried to launch last week, but it's called a community pack, and basically our readers are going to be much bigger participants on the WIP and really have the opportunity to make the WIP what they want it to be.
This is very important indeed. I'm very excited for you and the folks at the WIP. Kate Daniels, founder and executive editor of the Women's International Perspective, thewip.net. Thank you very much for being with us, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Tony.
It's fascinating to me to read articles and be surprised as to whether or not it was a man or a woman who wrote it. I think we're getting to a very healthy space in that way. Coming up in 2 minutes and a couple of seconds, Seat Notes. Stay tuned. You're tuned to America Back on Track.
It's not hard to find people in need. They're everywhere. And there's more than one kind of disaster that affects people's lives. There's AIDS and the millions of orphans the disease has left behind. There are teeming refugee camps, the result of war and persecution. Mary Knoll has been reaching out to the world's needy for nearly a century. Mary Knoll is there right now in 40 countries around the world. And with your help, Mary Knoll will be there tomorrow. Call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And for more information, go to www.mygiftcounts.org. One world, one mission. Mary Knoll.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the Network of Preferred Community Banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking. So what do you look for when you decide where you're going to put all your millions?
Well, I haven't printed up enough to put it in the bank yet, but I guess for convenience, and pretty much it's like a grocery market. You get to meet the people there, and you build a little rapport with some of them.
You know, it's a local bank, but it's part of a network of local banks that give you big bank services.
Everything that I need as far as banking is concerned, they have it. Online banking is great for me. So I just like the services that they offer.
You ever taken your dog Cindy to the bank?
As a matter of fact, when I went to open my account, she was with me.
Ah!
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we have a horse come through one of these days. We got a lot of cowboys come in and out of here, too.
Above and Beyond Banking from the Network of Preferred Community Banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
Before past the hour, and time for Seat Notes. Hillerod is reinventing herself yet again. Exhibiting as much form as soft clay in the hands of her image makers, she is now presenting herself as Team Clinton. Just like she and Slick Willie were the dynamic duo of his presidency, the presumption is that her husband's popularity will drive up her own, and that is a very thin reed. Especially for anyone with a double-digit IQ who looks back at what they actually accomplished. Not much. There was her tragic failure to boost health care reform, through the heart of which she drove a stake that has prevented change for 15 years. There is also the issue of, if she wants to trumpet her accomplishments as co-president, why won't she open up all the files that are sitting in the presidential library, access to which are currently blocked by obfuscation and deceitful Clinton associates? Then, of course, there is the full record of the Clinton years. They did almost nothing, even though they had a strong economy for six of those years. Among the most heinous things Team Clinton didn't do was that they didn't sign on to the Landmines Treaty. Landmines kill thousands of innocent people all over the world every year. But the Clintons decided that the U.S. military needed to use landmines, chiefly on the border between South and North Korea, so they refused to join the civilized world in outlawing their use. And then there was their failure to sign the global treaty pledging not to use nuclear weapons first. This was my favorite, or least favorite, depending on how one looks at it. I mean, here's how incredibly stupid was their refusal. Because of course you should sign it, since if for some unforeseen reason you decided to be the first to use nuclear weapons, it would have to be for a mighty good reason. Plus, and this is a key, who would complain if you did? Even if there were anyone left on the planet to say, oh, but you signed the treaty, you broke your word, don't you think that would pale in comparison to the act itself? Finally, it was the Clintons who made sure that George Bush was installed in the White House in 2001. Remember that the margin in the critical state of Florida in 2000 was only 267 votes. Had that many voters gone the other way, Al Gore would have won the Sunshine State and the Electoral College. It also wouldn't have taken much to pick up a couple of other states, but those votes in Florida could have been had in a flash if Slick Willie had behaved himself in office. So many people were so disgusted with his behavior that they took it out on his party and his vice president. Clinton could have mitigated the anger and disappointment if he had truly repented. If he'd gone on the campaign trail, owned up honestly to his disgrace, and pleaded with the voters not to forgive him but to do the right thing for America, Hillerod could have accomplished the same thing. He didn't, she didn't. They failed the nation again. And that's Eaton Notes for December the 26th, Boxing Day. Thanks to Henry Harpending for explaining how human evolution is speeding up and what it could mean. We don't know. And to our friend and esteemed colleague Kate Daniels, executive editor, founder of the Women's International Perspective. Join us again tomorrow and every weekday at noon Pacific for more of America Back on Track. Thank you for being with us today. I'm Tony Seaton.
Are you one of so many people who wish they could wake up in the morning and look at the clock without fumbling for glasses first? I've got news for you. Your wish can come true. Most cases of nearsightedness, farsightedness, and astigmatism can be corrected by the laser procedure known as LASIK. Now, is this procedure without risk or guaranteed? No, but complications are extremely rare, and the outcomes are almost always positive. And if your results aren't exactly as expected, you can be retreated in most cases for no additional cost. You should be realistic about your expectations, though, especially if you're over 40, because unless you have what's called monovision, you will still need your glasses for reading. See your eye doctor about LASIK. I'm Dr. Nancy Eklund.
The preceding message on eye care by Dr. Nancy Eklund has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your eye doctor.
Are you one of so many people who wish they could wake up in the morning and look at the clock without fumbling for glasses first? I've got news for you. Your wish can come true. Most cases of nearsightedness, farsightedness, and astigmatism can be corrected by the laser procedure known as LASIK. Now, is this procedure without risk or guaranteed? No, but complications are extremely rare, and the outcomes are almost always positive. And if your results aren't exactly as expected, you can be retreated in most cases for no additional cost. You should be realistic about your expectations, though, especially if you're over 40, because unless you have what's called monovision, you will still need your glasses for reading. See your eye doctor about LASIK. I'm Dr. Nancy Eklund.
The preceding message on eye care by Dr. Nancy Eklund has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your eye doctor.
You're listening to KRML, 1410 AM, Carmel, California. The news from the Quality News Network is next.
This is the Quality News Network. The leaders of Pakistan and Afghanistan have both pledged to increase communication and cooperation between the two countries to combat the growing threat of terrorism. Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf and Afghanistani President Hamid Karzai appeared at a joint press conference today, referring to each other as brothers after diplomatic talks in Islamabad. President Bush signed the federal budget bill, which allocates $555 billion for wars in both Iraq and Afghanistan, plus 14 federal agencies. Authorities in Atlanta, Georgia, have completed an investigation into what was thought to be a possible bomb threat at the state capitol. Turned out to be a suspicious package with old CDs and other music items inside. Solemn ceremonies were held across Indonesia and Cambodia today to commemorate the December 26th tsunami, which struck the Pacific 3 years ago, killing
Palm Springs, including move out of Palm Springs. But, you know, or in North Dakota, where, I mean, what do you suggest about that?
Well, North Dakota, I can take the easy one first. Mm-hmm. North Dakota, yeah, that's right. You can't get, you know, avocados and bananas and things like that. But one of the things that I do a lot of speaking around the country, and I do little visioning sessions.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The post-Christmas shopping frenzy may help make the difference in the retail season. Scott Krugman at the National Retail Federation.
The National Retail Federation is forecasting roughly 4% growth. That's for the entire months of November and December. And we think when all the receipts are tallied, we'll probably hit that number.
With grand deals to be found all over today.
We won't quit. No, we will not quit. Because there might be another buy just around the corner.
The well-oiled money machine that Walmart is, one part of that system seems to have a glitch. Gift cards weren't registering today.
It was just aggravating standing in line so long and all and getting up there and finding out that I couldn't use the gift card that my friend had got me.
Leonard Paul's a customer in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. Walmart says it doesn't know yet how extensive the computer problem may or may not be, though CBS News has confirmed problems encountered by customers in Florida, California, Michigan, and Vermont, at least. On Wall Street, the Dow